Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, Keys?
What's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys, Real Talk, back with another episode. I just want to say right now, Lee, can you hear me? I just want to say right now that, you know, I was looking over some things in the past couple of days, and especially today, I just looked, and I want to thank everybody who's been supporting and listening to the show, because I've been looking into the numbers. These are our biggest numbers we've ever had, and that we've ever had to date in you know, a little over a year now that we've been doing this show. You know, the biggest numbers we've ever had, and yeah, you know, I really appreciate that. We really appreciate that. You know, I don't know if Lee is even aware of that, but
we both appreciate that so much.
Everybody listening, and yeah, we just want to thank everybody, you know, for supporting our show and listening in. You know, we've been testing out some different business models here. You know, a couple different strategies we've been trying to do lately with our show, and you know, to make everything more enjoyable, and I think it's been more enjoyable for us as well. You know, one thing we had to just do was basically get back to the drawing board and, you know, do this thing the way we started it out. And, you know, since doing that, I think things have been running a whole lot smoother. And I think Lee can attest to that too. You know, he'll be in here any second.
Yo, what's up?
We can start going over a couple things because, you know, my man was at UFC Fight Night Denver, which just had this past weekend. There was a unbelievable main event that we're definitely going to have to talk about. I can imagine having seen that live was amazing. So, you know, UFC Denver definitely delivered a lot of, you know, great performances. You know, there were some good performances when I went to the show, you know, the UFC show when they came out here to Boston, but I think that card might have been better, and I think that must have been an awesome experience to have experienced live.
Yo, can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Bro. Yeah,
yo,
I can hear
what's
you, bro.
Going on, people? Oh man, I'm sorry, I was running a little bit late. I was having some technical difficulties with my phone. It tried to run an update, and I was like, nah. So I had to, you know, stop the update real quick. But I'm here, man. What's up, baby? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was excellent, bro. It was excellent. You know, I don't know if you heard what I opened the show up with, but you know, I was looking into the numbers lately, and man, we have been doing the most traffic that we've ever done in the history of our show. I mean, not that it's like 60-year history or something, but it's still history. We've been over a year doing this, and you know, this past week we are doing our biggest numbers to date. You know, with streaming and downloads, you know, for our show. So, you know, the highest traffic for listeners listening in, and I think that, you know, that must be saying something about the way we've been rocking and rolling. So I just had a thank
yeah,
to
man.
People who've been listening and supporting us, and that we appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah, man. You know, I caught the back end of what you're saying. We kind of got back to the roots. So, you know, the purpose of our show, was to do MMA talk, you know, but we sprinkle in stuff here and there. But we kind of sort of got away from the MMA talk for, you know, maybe about a couple, 2-3 months. And, you know, we wanted to try some new stuff. And, you know, we're back to the roots of the show. But, yo, we thanks for supporting our show. We really appreciate it. You know, like my man Key said, I did go to UFC Denver this past weekend. It was a great show. It was a great environment. what a main event. What a good co-main event also. It was a good time, man. Like I was, you probably could tell from the videos I sent, well, I think one of the videos is actually pretty good. The one I sent after Cowboy Cerrone had won, how the crowd reacted. But during the Korean Zombie and Yair fight, it seemed like half the arena was for Yair and the other half was for the Korean Zombie. It was crazy, man. And me and my homeboy, we were sitting there, and he was like, yo, I got Korean Zombie. And I was like, well, just for the hell of it, I'm going to take Yair Rodriguez. But I, just to have something to do during the fight, you know. And I was like, man, this 3-1. Some people had it 3-2. Some people had it 3-1. Some people had it 2-2. But I felt Korean Zombie was up in the fight. Man, and I was like, man, y'all are going to have to knock him out. And lo and behold, at the 4:59 mark of the fifth round, he pulls an unbelievable reverse elbow, and immediately the Korean Zombie was out. And I looked at my homeboy, and I was like, I don't know how he pulled that off. I can't wait to see the replay, but it was amazing. But it was a great weekend, man. It was a great weekend. I encourage all the fans out there, UFC, if it ever comes to your town, go see it live. It's kind of different without the commentary, but the energy of the crowd, man, it's a thing that you would never believe for a UFC event. Like my man Keys, when he went to UFC Boston, even though you don't get the commentary, the crowd just, the way the crowd is into the fight and the atmosphere, it's great. It's just great.
Yeah, man. I was saying before, I thought that, in my opinion, I think you got the better fight card than I did, than the one I had in Boston.
I don't know. I thought your fight card in Boston was pretty cool too though.
No, it was good, and it was a good night of fights, but I just think, I don't know, I felt like the Denver had more breakthrough performances. It had more come-from-behind performances, too, because I think people were sleeping on that main event, and the main event was crazy. I think people were sleeping on the co-main event, and that was crazy. I think people were, they weren't sleeping on it, but they were unaware about, you know, Macy Barber's debut. I'm pretty sure she's from Invicta Fighting Championship. You know, she debuted in the UFC. I think people were just uninformed, unaware about, you know, her skill sets, and she put on a very impressive UFC debut. She had a TKO victory of her opponent,
yeah.
So people were uninformed about that. So that's just three, you know, performances that I think people didn't – they were come-from-behind performances. People didn't expect to see, you know, Cowboy Cerrone finish Mike Perry inside one round. You know, people thought Cowboy Cerrone was down and out. People say he's washed. People say he's a gatekeeper, that, you know, he's just there, you know, to put up against guys, for guys to beat him. And he proved that wrong. You know, he stopped Mike Perry. Mike Perry is an impressive fighter. And he looked like the old Cowboy Cerrone in there. You know, old Cowboy Cerrone used to stop a lot of guys via submission. And that's what he went in there and did. You know, I read that he broke Mike Perry's arm. So, yeah, that's just the performances there. People just didn't expect to see performances like we saw at Fight Night Denver. And especially it being a Fight Night card, you know, people like to sleep. And we've had our, you know, our criticisms of the UFC's product, you know, in terms of the Fight Night cards in the past and there being too many events, which, I mean, I still believe, you know, that there's a case for that. You know, there's a case for there being too many events. But I do think that the product is getting better. And I think the reason, you know, one thing I'm going to say right now is because I think Dana White's contender series is playing a huge factor in that. The new blood that, you know, that my man Lee, you know, time and time again has called for and you know, expresses an interest in and something that he wants to see in the UFC. You know, he wants to see these new guys fight, new up-and-coming guys, fresh blood in the division instead of seeing the same, you know, repeats, the same recycled fighters just, you know, mixing and matching with each other. He wants to see new blood. And I think, you know, through the likes of the Dana White contender series, that's what we're seeing. And I read a statistic over the weekend about how, you know, four fighters who have come out of Dana White Contender Series have all been victorious in their debut, and they've all fought within the last couple months, and they've all been victorious in their UFC debut, and they're all making an impact on their respective divisions. And, you know, one of them guys being Israel Adesanya, who has debuted this year. You know, Macy Barber just debuted at UFC Denver, even though, you know, Adesanya debuted earlier this year. I think what they said actually was four of them that debuted in 2018 who have all come from, who have all came through, you know, the vehicle, came through Dana White's Contender Series. So, you know, all four Contender Series athletes making breakthrough debuts in the UFC. I forget who the other two were off top, but, you know, it'll come to me. I'll find it. And I just think that's what's, you know, those fighters getting on these fight night cards and on these UFC main cards, you know, they haven't breakthrough performances, and I just think that's what's making the product a lot better recently.
You know, man, that's a great point you made, man, because, you know, I never really thought about it that way, but it's definitely a good way to find new talent, you know, get a fresh perspective on new guys. It's kind of like, you know, baseball. You know how baseball, you got Double-A, Triple-A, and then you go up to the major leagues. I think the fighter contender is acting as the USC's Triple-A. You know, they go down there. All these guys aren't, like, rookies. You know, they've been fighting, so they do have a little bit of skill. You know, so it ain't like they get in there and they overwhelm. So, you know, I never really thought about it that way, but that's a good point, man, the Dana White Contender Series. And I think sometimes the UFC has this thing, and me and you talk, and I don't think we ever really broached the subject on our shows, but the UFC used to have a thing where they would go after other organization top fighters and bring them in and hope that the fighter will repeat their success. But sometimes when new guys come into UFC, the lights are a little bit brighter and the competition is a little bit stiffer, and they can't live up to the hype. One guy for sure was Lorenz Larkin, I think. Larkin was really, really hyped at Bellator, and I want to say WEC. But then when he came up to the UFC, he just couldn't live up to the hype, and he got exposed. And I think he's back in Bellator right now. So, but like you said, I've been preaching all year for new faces and fresh blood, and maybe Dana White has been listening to our show because they've been giving us that. Now I'm still kind of iffy on the number of events they having, because I don't know whether or not you looked at the schedule yet for the first quarter. Man, that's a lot of events for the first quarter, man. I mean, I understand that they got to deal with ESPN, and they got to put on, and they putting on a couple events for ESPN, but I still think it's a lot of events. But at the same time, you know, I guess that's one way to give us what we want. And as far as young talent, new faces, you know, and the best way to do it is put those guys on fight nights. But I still think you can have one fight night and one pay-per-view a month and still have the same effect. I don't think you got to have three events a month so that you can put the product out there. I think oversaturation and overutilizing the fighters leads to a lot of guys pulling all the fights, and then without sufficient, you know, guys to step in on short notice because they've already fought, it kind of sometimes it kind of kills good fights. So that's only an issue I have with so many events. But shout out to Dana White and the Dana White Contender Series for bringing us on new faces and fresh talent.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it kind of goes back and forth. I mean, another thing to add to that is, you know, I was looking into, you know, the next couple of weeks of events, and, you know, nobody could get bored because, you know, if you're a UFC fan, you watch the events, nobody can get bored because you have a fight night card every weekend until UFC 231. So we have a fight night card this weekend. What?
But is that good, though? You know what I'm saying? Is that a good thing that you have a UFC event every weekend for the next month? You know what
well,
I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to – yeah, no, I hear you. You know, I'm kind of – I'm playing the fence on this one because, you know, it really depends who you are.
Keys, you don't ride the fence, man. You don't straddle the fence. What's going on, bro? You don't straddle the fence.
Hey, man, I'm
but
trying
you
to,
know,
you know, I've been more involved in the UFC Twitter lately, and they got me looking at both sides of the equation, man. These people got out here debating me and got me overthinking my usual viewpoints on things. You know, I talked to somebody the other day, and, you know, I talked to somebody the other day, and she was saying about how, you know, the fight night cards, she was making a good argument about how the fight night cards get less hype, but they end up, you know, a lot of the times people just don't watch them because it's a fight night card and they wait for the big event, and then the UFC overpromotes the big events, and because of that, once you see the big cards, it never lives up to the hype because you've been seeing so much promotion for it, and it gets a thought in your head too much that the main event, co-main event, is shoved down your throat so bad that once it finally happens, there's almost no way for it to live up to the hype. And events kind of start feeling like duds. You know, UFC 225 is a perfect example. Look how many – look that card looked so stacked on paper that once we saw it, nobody was even talking about that card after that. Besides that Whitaker and Yoel Romero rematch, I mean, a lot of people talk about that, but I didn't hear a peep about any other fights on that card. I mean,
true.
Poor what's-his-name, you know, who's always talking that stuff, you know, beats – you know, pretty much
dominates Dos Anjos. I mean, I guess he's not the most likable guy, so, you know, point taken. But, you know, they didn't even talk about that. Like, I don't even think people knew that that was even a title fight. I don't even know if the UFC knew that was a title fight because it didn't have the feel of one.
But that's because everybody was pissed off that it was even an interim fight because I understand the UFC, the UFC not taking a liking to Tyron Woodley. But we as fans, we know that shouldn't have been an interim fight because what did Colby Covington do to deserve an opportunity at an interim belt? He did nothing. So the UFC trying to stick it to Tyron Woodley, they going to go ahead and tell RDA, look, this for the interim belt, even though he was the number one contender. You know, I think he was next in line for a shot. But everybody looking at Colby Covington, like, what has he done to deserve a shot at an interim belt? Who has he fought other than Damian Maia? And we all sitting here like, nah, man, that's BS, la, 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 la. And that's what me and you, we both basically said interim titles are a waste of time. They don't even mean anything. So, but I do have a problem with the oversaturation of the UFC. I just think, you know, you got a good product right now. You got a lot of good fighters out there. My thing is, have your fight night and a pay per view, let's say once a month, but you make those two cards. You make the fight night card not better than the pay-per-view card, but just as good so that people, I like free. Give me free any day of the week. $3.99 is my favorite price. So if I could get a free UFC event, I'm more likely to watch the free UFC event and then the next weekend, I'm going to go somewhere and watch the pay-per-view. And if the pay-per-view is a hell of a card, I might even buy it and just have a fight party at my house. But I'm not going to go and buy a pay-per-view every other month, you know. I'm just not going to do that. So, like, I think my next one, I'll probably buy the John Jones Gustafson card. You know, I'll probably have a fight party for that. But the fight night cards have gotten better. I can't – as much as I complain about them, they have gotten better. And I think Dana White, once again, I think he listens to our show – because me and you said, I want to say at least 6 months ago, that they should have at least two top 10 guys fight as the main event on the fight night, and then have two up-and-coming guys or two established names as the co-main event, and that will bring more eyes to the UFC fight night. And what have they done, Keys? They normally have two top 10 guys as the main event, and they have either an up-and-coming guy with a good name or two established names as the co-main event. So I really think Dana White be listening to our show on the low, man.
Well, because, look at the card this weekend. You have Neil Magny and Paul Zabio.
We got Magny and Ponzabio as the main event, and that pretty much fits the mold for what we've been saying. You know, that's as far as I know, that's two top 10 guys right there. I thought last time I thought Ponzabio was like, you know, 8, 9, or 10, and Neil Magny's probably like 5 or 6. So
yeah,
that pretty much fits the mold for, you know, what we've been saying. We're just trying to put out a rubric, you know, for how get that fan perspective. But, you know, we're avid fans. You know, we watch, you know, all the events. And one thing that I was listening to what you were saying, and I think maybe it's the opposite way, bro. Maybe it's not having too many fight nights maybe it's too many main cards. Maybe it's too many big cards, these numbered cards. Maybe have the same amount of fight nights, but have many, much, much less UFC main cards. I'm thinking, you know, you have the fight nights to be able to have guys square off, and then you don't have to have your hype die down and people not buying pay-per-views. You know, once the time comes, let the product build and have up-and-coming guys square it off, and then you can have, you know, all these guys that are always getting injured in training camp and stuff like that. You know, maybe because of the fact that, you know, they're going from one event to the next, more or less,
yeah,
you know, one fight to the
yeah
next type of deal. Instead of doing that to you guys, you know, perfect example, Derek Lewis, who, you know, he fought UFC 229, and then they had nobody to fight Cormier in the main event because John Jones wasn't ready to fight, so he wanted to wait for 232 because that was what they actually tried to do, because they wanted to have Cormier fight John Jones at 230. But John said in the interview that, you know, it was too quick for him and people thought it, but it couldn't happen, couldn't come to fruition. You know, his body wouldn't be ready. So, okay, take the time, respect it. But now, as a result of that, they had to take, you know, Derek Lewis, who just got out of a fight, 3 weeks camp, and he has to fight the champion. You know, what kind of – I understand why, but there's a reason why it happened. You got to look at – you know, in anything in life, we got to look at when we go wrong, we got to highlight the mistakes and look at how it went wrong. Look at the root of the problem. What ended up happening? How come you had no main event? You got too many cards. You got too many guys fighting. Everybody's hurt. You know, everybody's missing weight. Everybody's unavailable or uninterested because you have too many guys fighting too often. Derek Lewis has fought. He had already fought two fights this year. You know, he had I feel like he had three fights this year.
Yeah,
if he had the Ngannou. Yeah, but didn't he have another fight before that one?
Yeah, he fought Ngannou, he fought Volkan, and then he fought DC. And I want to think he fought again. I think he fought four times this year.
Yeah, I thought he fought Mark Hunt this year too, but maybe that was late 2017. I thought the Mark Hunt fight was. I know because he was having issues with his back, so he couldn't. I thought he got the back surgery, so he wasn't able to fight.
Well, we know for sure that he fought three times this year. So we know for sure
he fought three times this year.
Yeah.
And you're saying this guy, now you want to push him to the main event. Just the fact that it had to be a three-week, you know, turnaround to go fight, you know, one of the greatest of all time, Daniel Cormier, you know, love him or hate him. Just looking at what it is.
Hate him.
Was just complete bogus from the start. It was just complete bogus. You got a guy who, you know, you can't you can't, like, I mean, there is certain situations where guys can take a fight on short notice and still win a title. I mean, I'll name one off the top right now. So Michael Bisping, not everybody can be Michael Bisping, who takes a short notice replacement. You know, he's a short notice replacement to challenge Luke Rockhold for the title. I think that was 2 years ago. And he knocks him out in the first round. Like, not everybody can do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, those happen once in a great. Like, that doesn't always, you know what I mean? Like, you don't always get these opportunities. Not, you know, not everybody can be these guys that, you know, that do that. So, it's just crazy. Like, what I'm trying to say is maybe have cut down on these main cards, you know, these big, you know,
can I offer a suggestion? Can I offer a suggestion?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I follow what you're saying. Basically, instead of having a pay-per-view, at least a pay-per-view once a month, have a pay-per-view every other month. Is that what you're saying? So basically, you build a fight night cards up. You hype the fight night cards up so you have people interested in the product. So by the time it comes time for a pay-per-view, we like, okay, well, I'm going to buy the pay-per-view, or, you know, I'm going to go somewhere and check the pay-per-view out because, you know, everybody's been watching, you know, everybody's been watching the fight night. They done got hyped over the fight night. So it's even going to make the pay-per-views even more hyped up. I follow you on that. But, man, you know, man, I know I threw this out here last year. I knew I threw this out here last year, and it probably didn't make no sense. But, you know, man, I like the way WWE used to do business. WWE used to have four major main events a year. I mean, pay-per-views a year. And people clamored for those pay-per-views because you knew those were going to be the biggest events of the year. And I just thought the UFC could have used that model. Let's say if they had one pay-per-view a quarter. Man, do you know how many fighters they could have available for a pay-per-view? You know how they could stack cards with a pay-per-view? Man, I really think that would be the model, but I know they won't do it. So I'll just get off that horse and leave it alone. And, you know, hopefully I like your model too, though. One every other month. So you have six pay-per-views a year. That ain't bad.
Well, I think that's for business. I mean, I think that would make more sense because then you'd have champions, you know, if they didn't get on any of the cards for that year, you'd have champions sitting out for like a whole year waiting until like, the top of the next year to be able to defend their belt. You know, that might have guys sitting on the couch for too long. Maybe that'd be a reason why, you know, you'd end up having superstars sitting out for too long if it was only like 3 or 4 a year. But that was what I was actually trying to say was
I got you.
If you could have similar to a, you know, I don't know what the events were, but the off tops, if you could have it be similar to a WWE, you know, old school model where you could have, you know, have a WrestleMania, a Backlash, a SummerSlam, and a Survivor Series, and just do those four for the year, four events that are big anyways, that have been around for a long time. People know those events. People know the names, and people order them every year. The same, you know, I don't think I'd be crazy to believe that, you know, a large portion of the same fans who buy SummerSlam every year buy SummerSlam the next year, and the people who buy WrestleMania every year buy the WrestleMania every year, and they buy it the next year. You know, there's certain events that people will tune into regardless of if they've been following your product or not. So, and if you're putting too many, then how are they going to – it makes the events less memorable because everything kind of gets saturated, like you said. And then how will you even remember one event from the next because, you know, it's only 4 weeks out from the next event. So how does any event really stand out that much?
Yeah, because I know even for me, you do this show – sometimes I'd be having to pull up previous cards and see who was on it, you know, just to make sure that I'm talking the right stuff because it's so many events and, you know, and they kind of run into each other. But, you know, I get it, man. You know, you got to, in business, you got to strike the iron while it's hot, you know, keep the fire going. And right now the UFC is hot because boxing is terrible. Bellator is
have a lot of washed-up guys in it from the UFC. And basically, the UFC is the best thing going as far as combat sports. You had the UFC. I think the WWE still got a lot of fans. You know, you still got your diehard boxing fans. But, you know, as far as my dollar, I would never buy a boxing pay-per-view. I'll buy WrestleMania before WrestleMania or SummerSlam before I gave boxing money. So that's just me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
But, you know, they had a, you know, boxing, I follow Tony Bellew in boxing. He just fought. They had a big boxing card, I think, this past weekend.
Yeah.
No, of course.
Yeah, he lost, right?
Yeah. Tony Bellew, yeah, he got knocked out. I think it was the 7th or 8th round. Yeah, that dude he fought is a beast, though. He was a straight beast. I think that Bellew's last fight, too, he's going to, I think he said win or lose that fight. Win or lose, he was retiring. That'd be his last fight, so.
But
I
you
respect
know, like,
that.
O'Keefe.
Go out on your shield.
Let me throw this out to you real quick about Fox. How they trying to steal some of the UFC shine. So I'm up here watching FS1, right? And I'm looking at the bottom, the ticker at the bottom. How about the boxing now trying to have a lot of their guys fight on regular TV for free? Because, you know, the UFC have a lot of free events. So now boxing want to jump into that arena now. Man, come on, man. You know, it is what it is. I guess, you know, like you said, one way to get people to buy pay-per-views is to show them the product for free, and then they might take a plunge and buy a pay-per-view. But me, I'm not buying a box of paper ever again. So, well, man, what else
yeah.
on your mind tonight, bro?
So, you know, I've been talking, you know, like I said, I've been more active with people on UFC. I've been more active in the UFC Twitter world, and you know, I pay attention to the podcast and the media. You know, I've always paid attention to Chael Sonnen's podcast. You know, shout out to Chael Sonnen, that's my guy. You know, maybe Chael Sonnen listens to our show. You never know. I'd be honored if Chael listened into our show. Honestly, I wouldn't mind having him on this show in the future, but that's a whole nother story. Yeah, shout out to my boy Chael Sonnen, that's the legend right there. Anyway, so yeah, you know, I pay attention to a lot of the media, a lot of the, you know, podcasts, and I see the talking points. I see what the people are calling for, and, you know, one thing that, you know, one model that goes around, one model, you know, one business model that goes around for, you know, certain fighters, certain champions is, you know, specifically off top, I could just name Floyd Mayweather. You know, Floyd Mayweather usually says, you know, he's not going to fight a guy unless the people really want to see it, unless the people are really calling for it. You know, he's not going to fight a guy who's – it's not necessarily, quote-unquote, a big fight. You know, same way Daniel Cormier, you know, he doesn't want to fight these, you know, light heavyweight guys. I don't mean to get you going, Lee, but, yeah, he doesn't want to fight these guys at 205 because, you know, they're not big enough fights. So, he, you know, and also people aren't, you know, necessarily calling for DC to fight those guys either. So – that even reiterates in his mind why it's not a big fight. And, you know, the one fight that people are asking for right now is in the headline. And you wouldn't believe it, but, yeah, you know, it's everywhere. Everywhere is calling to see that. And, you know, especially after what we saw from Cowboy in the co-main event, the way he, you know, finished Mike Perry and got him out of there. And it only seemed like maybe 2 or 3 minutes. That fight seemed really short to me. I don't even know why Mike Perry would go for a takedown on Cerrone. I'm not sure what was the motive there. I'm not going to try and. Then again, I'm not a fighter, and I'm not trying to criticize guys like I'm an expert or something like that. You know, I don't fight MMA, so I can't really, you know, talk from that angle. But it just, I mean, it is. I do think it's in question what was really the motive at the same time with doing that, because knowing a guy like that who's dangerous on the ground and he will try to submit you, I don't know why they would think to go to the ground. Why Perry didn't just try to keep the fight standing and try and knock him out? Because after all, that's what Mike Perry does. You know, Mike Perry, he doesn't take guys down. He wants to stand and bang with you. So I don't really understand why he didn't just stick with what he knows. You know, as well as guys want to become more diverse and well-rounded, I salute that, but I think there's a time and place for everything, and the time is not to try and become more well-rounded in a fight versus a submission artist like Donald Cerrone. I think that was the wrong time. But
sounds like Rumble Johnson versus Daniel Cormier.
Exactly. Rumble Johnson, that is still in question. What was the motive trying to go to the ground with DC? I just don't get what was happening there. Like, at least Volkan, you know, at least Volkan, when I saw the Volkan-DC fight in Boston, Volkan tried to stand and bang with DC. He was throwing heavy shots. He landed a couple shots. You know, it didn't do the damage. I mean, it probably did the damage, but it just didn't finish the fight like he thought it would. You know, the Volkan thought he could swing for the fences in the first round, and he thought his shots would be too much for DC. He'd be able to get him out of there inside the first round. I think he predicted a first-round knockout. And it just wasn't enough. DC, you know, got him to the ground the second round. And I forget if it was a TKO finish or a submission. I think it was a TKO finish. But, yeah, the reason was because Volkan couldn't get DC off top of him. You know, DC's a big guy. He's a heavy guy. You can't get that dude off of you. You know, he's very dominant on the ground. But anyways, you know, I don't understand what the strategies were, you know, but I don't want to get too off course here. The point what I was trying to say is that nobody expected Cowboy to go in there and dominate Mike Perry the way he did. And ever since he had that impressive finish, he also announced that he'll be moving back down to 155. So that actually adds, you know, an impressive Cowboy Cerrone, you know, a fresh Cowboy, you know, back into the 155 pitcher, which makes that division that much more stronger. And you have all these other fights now that people are talking about making for Cerrone, trying to throw him in there with a lot of these guys. And, you know, the top one that I'm seeing is Cerrone and Conor McGregor. You know, Conor McGregor just lost to Khabib. And, you know, he wanted to get a rematch with Khabib. But, you know, a lot of us, I think, know that isn't warranted at this time. You know, he pretty much got dominated in the fight. It was not a good night for Conor McGregor. You know, he lost fair and square, and he doesn't really deserve a rematch. So I think he's admitted that to himself probably too at this point, that, you know, the rematch is probably not in the cards. Khabib doesn't really care. You know, he doesn't need the money. No money fight. He's out there doing his thing in Russia, so let it be. You know, McGregor said he's willing to fight the next guy in line, basically, you know, foreshadowing he's going back to the contender McGregor, the guy who, you know, fought his way up to the top of the featherweight division before fighting Jose Aldo, not just the guy who, you know, entered the division and just got an immediate title shot because he was a big name, kind of like how things played out when he went to lightweight. He didn't really fight anybody. He just kind of got a title shot. And the Nate Diaz fight doesn't even really count. You can't say he fought a lightweight before a title shot because Nate Diaz was actually, if you remember, was the replacement for the champion because McGregor moved to lightweight after he won the featherweight belt. You know, they didn't – supposedly he said they didn't offer him a featherweight contest after that, so then he made his own negotiations to, you know, get a lightweight fight, okay. And the UFC offered it. He was supposed to fight Rafael Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos was the lightweight champion at that time. And, you know, he was supposed to fight Dos Anjos. That was his first fight at lightweight. Then when Dos Anjos, I believe, broke his foot in training – he fell out of the fight, and then they were looking for a last-minute replacement for a UFC 196. Then Nate Diaz, Cowboy, was in the picture at one point. They almost had McGregor versus Cowboy back then, but then it ended up being Nate Diaz, so then that's how you ended up getting the McGregor versus Diaz. But really, it wasn't supposed to be like a contender fight in the beginning. It was actually supposed to be a lightweight title fight with McGregor and Rafael Dos Anjos. So just to make that clear for everybody, there was an immediate lightweight title fight placed for McGregor when he moved up to lightweight, and then the champion fell out, and then he technically fought a contender, a lightweight contender. You know, Nate Diaz was probably like number five or number six lightweight at that time. So, yeah, and he lost. He lost and then did the rematch and then won. So he was 1-1 at lightweight, then got a title fight. So it was just a lot of craziness. You know, as a fan of him, obviously I was excited regardless. You know, any of his fights, I'm excited. Always getting a shot at the lightweight belt, I'm excited.
But it was crazy, though, if you're really looking at it, you know, in terms of the rankings and you know, who's done what and what division. It was blasphemous. It was really just the way they moved him through the division. It just didn't really make sense, and it was kind of unfair to the other guys who had worked harder for that. But now, you know, this is the closest we've been to seeing that contender McGregor who fought his way up to fight Aldo at Aldo when Aldo was at you know, arguably the height of his career, or no, not really the height of his career, but you know, when Aldo was still, you know, still a kingpin in the UFC, when he was still like one of the top,
yeah,
you know, pound for pound fighters. And this is the closest we're seeing to contender McGregor. He's willing to fight, you know, whoever it is. And, you know, Cerrone, he's moving down to 155. So, you know, all these podcasts, all MMA media, you know, UFC media specifically, you know, they're all calling for it, Cowboy and Conor McGregor fight. So, you know, it's pretty much been it's been overdue to have that fight. So I think that's a good one. I think they're both Cowboys, you know, they're both, I guess, at kind of a, you know, similar place maybe mentally, you know, Cowboy's coming off a big win. But before that, you know, he did have a, you know, a dry spout. He did lose a couple fights, you know, so people were starting to count him out. And I think in the same way, people were starting to count McGregor out too, because he's lost a couple fights. I mean, he's lost his last two fights, you know, even though both of them weren't in the UFC, he did lose his last two fights. And he also has the loss to Nate Diaz. So people are, you know, he's 2-2 in his last four fights, Conor McGregor. And Cerrone's probably, if I had to guess, either 1-3 or 2-2. He might honestly be 2-2 in his last two fights also. So, I mean, I think it's a good one. I wouldn't mind seeing that. And I wanted to see that a couple years ago, but I wouldn't mind seeing it now too. So what do you think about that?
I mean, you basically covered all the bases on this, but I can be sure. I like Cowboy when he's not fighting for a belt. He's one of those guys that when he's fighting for a belt, he just doesn't look like the same fight. It looks like the pressure just wears him out for fighting for a belt. Whereas when he's just fighting a regular guy or a regular fight, he's a lot more loose. You know, the stress and the pressure of winning doesn't bog him down. I like him not fighting for belts. If you look at his last couple fights where he's fought for the belt, you wouldn't even recognize him as the same guy that was on the road to fight for the belt. Against Dos Anjos, he got destroyed. I can't remember who else. I want to say he lost to Anthony Pettis too, but he was a champ. I like where Cowboy at. I don't understand the move back to 155. Good at the weight class that. But, you know, he's one of them guys that if he gonna go to the UFC and tell him he wants to fight at a different weight class, you know, he got enough cachet. Well, you know, the UFC ain't going to say no. They'll probably say, all right, we'll give you a shot, you know, whatever. But another thing about Cowboy that a lot of people got to keep in mind is you got to look at how much he's fought over the years. The last 3 or 4 years. He's been a guy that'll fight on short notice. He'll be a guy that fights at back-to-back events if necessary. I think now he's treating his body a lot better. As far as taking necessary time to heal, train properly. And then I think he also got away from doing all the wild stuff as far as like four-wheeling and doing all that daredevil stuff he used to do. I think now he's more focused on being a good fighter. So him and Conor on paper to be a good matchup, but I just don't see Cerrone being able to stand up to that left hand and being able to survive a lot of those shots. So if I had to pick it now, I would say I would go with Conor, followed by KO. But if Cowboy could get him to the ground, I think Cowboy will have a shot at him. I still don't think Conor can fight off his back. He still hasn't proven to us that he can fight off his back, but he has shown us that he can strike with the best of them. So the only way Cowboy will have a chance is basically taking him down and trying to submit him, because Conor still hasn't shown us anything on the front. But it would be a good fight.
You think it would be a good fight?
Yeah. Styles make fights. And I think Cerrone has enough tools in his toolbox to get Conor a decent fight. I don't think Cerrone would run. He would stand and bang. But if I was his trainer or his manager, I would tell him, you know, you can stand and bang, but use that to set up takedowns. And let's see whether or not this guy's been fooled this round, which I don't think he has. I don't think Conor feels that support. I mean, even though it is, I just don't think that he takes it that seriously, that he needs to learn how to fight off his back or learn how to, you know, defend takedowns. So it will be an interesting fight. But it's kind of funny that you brought up Cowboy versus Conor, and I also saw that he might have been moving down to 155 to fight Nate Diaz too. But you know, like I told you before, I'm not talking about Nate Diaz anymore because I don't think he really wants to fight. And until he fights somebody, that's when we'll talk about it. So, but that was brought up, you know, Cowboy versus Diaz, but I think the UFC would be boring them to make Conor versus Cowboy. You know, I think they'd be more willing to make that fight.
Yeah, I think that's hilarious. You know, you're basically boycotting the Nate Diaz train. You know, it's warranted. It's warranted though. It's definitely warranted though. So you know, we're not even gonna further that. I did hear, you know, Cowboy talking about wanting that rematch, but unless we actually see it get scheduled, then like you said, that will not be a talking point on this show.
Exactly.
Because
not by me,
this
anyway.
Guy did not by me neither. Not by anybody. They've offered him and his brother many fights, and they don't accept fights. So they offered Nick Diaz a Tyron Woodley fight last year, a title fight, and you know he turned that down. I'm pretty sure they offered Nate Diaz a Tony Ferguson at one point, and he turned that down. I think they offered Nate Diaz Eddie Alvarez at one point as well, and pretty sure he turned that down. Then they, you know, you have the Poirier fight, and he accepted that one, but then he, in a way, still turned it down because unless it was for a belt, then he wasn't going to fight, which doesn't exist. So I don't even know why he would think that it was, yeah, that's just, it's completely bogus. So I don't know. There's not much to be said about that. So when a fight does get announced, then we'll talk fights, but there's no fight, so we won't talk. But,
I think Nick will fight before Nate. I think Nick
could be more tuned
to fight before Nate does. I think Nate is a delusional with the money he thinks he's going to make in a UFC fight. He's hell bent on the trilogy fight with Conor, man. I guarantee you that if they offer that to him right now, that would be the only fight he would take. He probably wouldn't even take a title fight, but he would take a trilogy fight with Conor. I just don't get it, man. But, like I said, I'm done with the Nate Diaz talk.
Yeah, that's do it. We'll just cut that off right there. So, it would be nice to see Cowboy and McGregor fight. That'd be awesome. You know, I'm actually kind of hoping that they do make that one, but if not, then they don't. The other one that I really want to see is Gaethje and McGregor, because I know I'll see a stylistic fight that I'll really be entertained by. You know, I don't think it would have the potential to be as good as the main event we just saw, the one you just saw.
that, but, you know, it'd be good. Zombie, you know, I talked about Zombie. You said this, you know, multiple shows ago. You asked me who, you know, who I liked that was coming up, and I said Korean Zombie. That was probably earlier this year. You know, who were some of my picks to be, you know, big or you know, have good performances this year? I said Korean Zombie, and I thought, you know, he did have a really good performance. I don't think that the KO takes anything away from him. You know, they fought for 25 minutes, and it was an excellent fight. Just that elbow, Yair Rodriguez landed at 1 second left was just incredible. Very well timed. Some people were saying they didn't even think that it was intentional. A lot of people I talked to said they thought that was not accidental, but it was, he didn't know, you know, that he would land it. I mean, I can't really tell. it looked like it was just a flash moment. I thought Zombie just passed out from exhaustion at the last second because they were throwing hands since the start of the fight. They're both exhausted.
But the thing is, though, man, that's just bad coaching, though. It's like, basically, he had the fight wrapped up. It's like, you tell your fighter, be safe. You know, you don't have to take any chances. Protect yourself at all times. And you know, I didn't understand the strategy going out there engaging. I mean, I know Yair was like throwing his hands up saying, come on. Of course he's going to say that. He loses. He loses the fight. What else he supposed to do? So it was just bad coaching, man. If I was training him, the Korean Zombie, I would have been like, hey, look, we up in the fight. I need you to be safe. You know, stick in moves. If you're in trouble, grab, hold, wrestle, whatever. Don't take any unnecessary shots. It's just a way to go about winning fights, man. And he went about it the wrong way. I mean, I understand that, you know, the last 10 seconds of a fight, guys want to sit there and trade, la, 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 la. Yeah, it's good for us fans. But you as a fighter, if you got the fight won, take the decision and move on to the next guy.
Yeah, I agree with that because he was definitely, you know, 9 out of 10 says he was on his way to a unanimous decision, you know, winning that. So I don't think it would have been. It could have been a split decision, but I definitely think he would have won a decision in that fight. I think he was up a couple rounds. You know, he was landing probably. You know, they both landed a lot of significant strikes, but I think Zombie landed them and had the bigger moments, you know, the bigger impact, you know, in a lot of those moments. And, you know, he was backing the air up, you know, a couple times. You know, there was a few times I think he had him rocked and, you know, he just couldn't, you know, with the timing, he couldn't get the job done. But, yeah, I think Zombie was well on his way to a decision victory there. And, you know, it's suspect of the coaching to advise him to go out there and try and go for the kill when you already have the fight in the bag. So, you know, maybe they thought they didn't have the fight in the bag. You know, I don't know what happened, but no, I definitely feel for that guy though, because I'm a fan of Korean Zombie, and honestly, I kind of hate that it had to be him. To be honest, I kind of wish that was somebody else that would have, you know, had that moment and gotten KO'd like that, because you know it kind of sounds a little weird, you know, the way to say it that way, but it's just him, you know. I feel like he's a good dude, and it's like you don't really try to, and especially with his response to it, like, you know, him coming out, Zombie came out and said that he's embarrassed and stuff like that, and it's like, but bro, you put on a hell of a fight, like, you know, regardless of anything else, like, and he's a good dude, like he doesn't he's respectable to his opponents. He's not talking that shit when he's in the cage. He doesn't, like, represent himself in a way where you would want to see him get taken out like that and get dropped. You know, he doesn't really deserve that kind of karma on him to get dropped in the last second, you know, in front of everybody. It was kind of, I mean, I can get where he's coming from saying it's embarrassing, you know, when you had the fight in the bag and to get KO'd at the last second. Like, you probably think that would happen to somebody else, but, you know, in a way, no, it is what it is, but that was an incredible fight. That was, for me, probably the top five fights I've ever watched in the UFC. And that's,
yeah,
I mean
it's,
that.
It definitely should be up for Fight of the Year. I mean, it happened in 2018, so it should be up for Fight of the Year. But, but
yeah, that,
man, it just goes back to, yeah, Whitaker Romero. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those two would probably the best two I've seen this year.
Yeah, and I know coming out of that fight, you know, being I saw it live, I know, man, people were still in shock when he was face down, and it was like, man, what happened? And I was just sitting there thinking, I had my coach's hat on, I was like, can't believe his corner didn't take care of him from the corner. Look, man, we win it. Be safe. You know, don't take no unnecessary shots. Get in and out. Do your thing, but let's make sure we protect ourselves. And he bought into that. Yair threw his hands up, I want to say, three times in that final round. He threw his hands up like three times in that final round saying, come on, let's engage. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to tattoo you a little bit more, back out, and we're going to get our hand raised at the end of the night. But, you know, the performance bonuses came out for that fight. I agree with the fight of the night with Zombie and Yair. The performance was Cowboy got a performance, and they gave Yair a performance, too. I really thought they should have gave one to the young lady, Macy, or Baby. Or
I thought they would have gave her one. Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought they would have gave her one for sure. And to Cowboy. I thought Cowboy would have got one, too.
Yeah, he got a performance bonus. But I didn't think Yair deserved two bonuses. He got Fight of the Night and a performance. I thought the young lady
I think a fight of the night.
Performance bonus.
Yeah, I thought so too. I'm surprised they didn't do that because I thought that, you know, something I could compare it to is recently, I think it was when Mackenzie Dern, the card when Mackenzie Dern had debuted, I'm pretty sure she got a finish. I think she got a finish. And I thought that she also got one of the performance of the night bonuses. So, I mean, I guess who knows why, but yeah, I don't know. When I named off that night, I named off people who I thought should have got bonuses. I definitely had her in my list. You know, playing DraftKings, man, DraftKings has definitely gotten me a lot more, you know, I've been enjoying these cards a lot more, you know, while I'm got these small bets going on fights. You know, it's not like any high roller stuff, just all small bets, you know, just with my friends and stuff like that. You know, and it makes us all, you know, be that much more into the fights. And I've been getting better too, man. I've been getting better with these fight predictions. You know, I went 5-1 on fight predictions for UFC Denver. The only pick I had, I forget who it was. I think it was Gunther. I think I forget what his first name is, but I had Gunther in my lineup, and he lost. I didn't pick the main event, but you know, I went 5-1, and I've been getting better. It's making the cards more enjoyable to watch, and maybe that plays a part in why I feel like the product's been better too. But I think the product has been better though. I think that I've been enjoying Fight Night cards more, and you know, maybe it's just not buying into the hype and just actually looking into the fighters. Maybe that's what a lot of it comes down to. Cause
but the thing is, it adds another form of entertainment to the fight because you know, like me and my homeboy, we was betting each other drinks, you know, on the fight. So it was like, you know, I got this guy. He was like, he got this guy, and we would be like, well, if I win, you got the next round, or you got my next drink, or whatever. So, you know, it does add a little bit more entertainment to it. So, you know, you want the guy to win. So, I agree with you on that because even when I play DraftKings as far as fantasy football, you know, I'm in a group with some of my other friends, and, you know, it's bragging rights and stuff like that. You know, it ain't number like you put in like $5 and winner take others. Winner, the second place person get their pay in money. and the win against the rest of us. So, you know, but yeah, man, it does add a little extra entertainment to the event. You know, having that little side thing going on.
Hey, yeah, but, it definitely does. And you have a DraftKings account?
Yeah.
Man, how come we haven't done a contest for these fights?
I remember I told you
come
that
on, bro.
For the next one that you set up.
You never said that. I didn't know of this until you just said it.
Okay. I'm going to send you the text message where I told you, I was like, yeah, you got a tournament. That's fine. Let me know.
Well, because me and you could just do a head-to-head, too. We could do a face-off. And then also I have a friend who he's been jumping in and he's been getting into the fight. So, yeah, we could do, you know, I have a couple people. We could do, like, you know, four of us. And we could do, yeah, like a tournament or whatever. And then we could also have a head-to-head, too. Sometimes I like to do a couple contests. I'll bet like $1 or $2 on each one. No, like I don't do nothing crazy. I mean, there's some big contests out there, but I don't need none of that.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't like when I'm doing my fantasy football. I might $2 triple up, you know, where the top nine, you know, you win $6. I might do the $1 triple up, you know, whatever. But nah, man, I really don't go all out. I don't really do anything. I really don't do anything above $5. You know, I keep it simple.
Yeah, that's the same as me. That's the same as me. You know, the most we did was, you know, I think I did a public contest the other day, and I did a 15-man contest. It was for UFC 230, actually. You know, I decided for the first time to make my contest public, so anyone, you know, that's just scrolling through the DraftKings can see it on the boards. And I did a 15-man and then $2 buy-in. So then the top guy won. Oh man, I think it was like 18. Maybe it was $18 or $20. It was something. It was up there somewhere. And then the second, yeah, I think it was 18. The top guy won like 18 and change. And then the second guy won like $8 or $9. And then the rest of the people, you don't win. But I actually placed third in that contest. Bro, I was right there. I fell 6 points out of second place. I would have placed and won one of those prizes. I would have won $8 on a $2 buy-in. I had a good... I think I went 4-2 or 5-1 on UFC 230 picks. You know, in the last three events, I've gone 14-4 on DraftKings lineups. So I've been doing my research a little more, bro. I ain't just picking with my heart anymore. I'm doing the research and really trying to do this. I go in for the fight and
heart picks, huh?
Yeah, I can't do it because it's too much. Usually, the guy I want to win is not, you know. The odds are stacked against them, so I got to go with what's logical, and that's been helping me is just, you know, taking my heart out of the equation and use logic, and I've been doing really good the last, you know, three or four events, you know, only been wrong in four predictions, so it's been you know, only one or two, usually one fight a card is where I lose one fight a card, and that's usually because my budget runs up because you have 50K. To pick six fighter lineup, and then, you know, sometimes by the fifth or sixth fighter, I got to stop picking, you know, some people who are less money, because I have no other way to, you know what I mean, get certain other fighters who I want to have. So I kind of got to pick somebody who might not even be a favorite, you know, somebody who's a heavy underdog, just to, you know, fit the cost value of what I have. So yeah, but the DraftKings. Shout out to DraftKings too. My God, maybe DraftKings listens to our show too. You know, shout out to DraftKings. You make watching the fights, you know, that much more. Like Lee said, much more of an incentive. You know, when you're watching the fights, you know, for people who might not even, also for people who are new to the fights, to get into it as well. So, shout out to DraftKings. And yeah, I think that's pretty much all I got for tonight. Unless you have something you want to add,
now,
jump throw in there.
I got one more thing I want to add, man. You know, me and you were talking about one championship last week. We were talking about how, you know, they may have won the DJ sweepstakes. And then, you know, they got Eddie Alvarez. And then also this week, they got Misha Tate, man.
they signed Misha Tate to be a commentator or something like that. So, man, shout out to One Championship, man. They doing big things.
Yeah, they pretty much took a look at the fighters that were underappreciated in the UFC and then just recruited all of them. You know, not meaning that they weren't good, you know, they're great fighters. It's just that, you know, maybe people that weren't necessarily happy with, you know, what the UFC was offering, and they got some better deals. So that's good. Shout out to One and all those fighters and Misha Tate. You know, Misha Tate is beautiful, by the way. Oh my God, Misha Tate is probably one of the most beautiful fighters ever. Oh my God, I can't even deal with that. She is a smoke show.
Yeah, she bad. She bad. I can't lie. She a bad. She's sexy, boy. I never thought I'd see an MMA fighter with boobs until I seen her. Good Lord.
Yeah, my God. God bless. God bless. Yeah, but yeah, if you don't have, you know, that pretty much that wraps it up. I mean, we had a good show tonight. If you have anything else you want to throw in there, I mean, I'm pretty much good on my end.
I'm good, bro.
All right, then, you know, we appreciate everybody for listening, and, you know, keep supporting the show, and keep supporting the UFC, and, you know, tune into these Fight Night cards, because they've been putting out a good product lately, and I think it's only going to get better from here, because we got the Max Holloway and Brian Ortega card coming up in a couple weeks, so that's going to be a good fight, and, yeah, so, you know, spread love, keep respecting each other, and keep doing it, you know, and have yourself a great day tomorrow, and the next day. So, yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for me.
That's all I got. Everybody be good, stay safe, and take care of each other. Until next time, peace from Lee and Keith.
Lee and Keith, over and out. Have a great night.